confident.
Thank God it's
Friday. It's
put the work away. It is Friday, and we're heading full steam into a big sports weekend. A lot of basketball tonight, and of course, football takes over the weekend with the NFL Divisional Playoffs. I am Brett Rump, Caleb Hatch in the producer's chair back in the studio, and of course, if you were listening to the show earlier this week, you know why I am sitting in my studio apartment home, because yes, for the second time, I have COVID, and I feel like maybe my new nickname should be Mythbuster, because everybody says, oh, you can't get COVID within 90 days. I heard them say that on the news. Well, I don't know who's saying it, but hello, I had COVID in November, and I have dealt with it this week. At times, it has not been pleasant. It has been rough. I've done everything I can to prepare to do this two-hour show, and I can't even tell you some of the things that I've done, because it's, well, let's just say you've got to make sure you're geared up, and that you can, number one, you can speak, number two, you can talk without coughing, and so it's been a little bit rough over the last two, 3 days, and I appreciate those that filled in this week, John Nolan on Tuesday, Justin Kenny on Wednesday, but it will be nice to have a couple of days to kind of rest over the weekend and hopefully be back and be better. But you know, the strange thing about COVID is you never know when is it over. Because for some, it could be a 2-3 week illness. For some, it could be 5 days and you never feel all that sick. And that's the thing that's so tough to measure. I don't know where I'm at right now in my cycle. I know that I had a terrible cold on Sunday, just complete stuffiness in my sinuses. All I did was blow my nose for an entire day watching football. And then you get to Monday and you start getting the chest congestion. And then it starts to inflame. And you, from all the coughing, you start to feel the tightness in your chest, and then it gets progressively worse. And that's when I started to seek some medical care and got on some medication. But what's interesting, and some people asked me, because yesterday I was kind of promoting that I was going to give you some information that was very important, and a lot of people didn't get it because it was like an hour later before I finally gave you the information. And so they were texting me last night. I got a couple of direct messages asking me about it. Here's some of the things that you should know, and I've learned this mostly firsthand. Number one, you can get it twice within 90 days. So don't blow it off. If you had COVID in November, late October, December, and you're dealing with symptoms, don't blow it off and say, well, it's not COVID because my body's protecting me from COVID. I've got the antibodies. Well, yeah, I had the antibodies and the infusion, the monoclonal antibody infusion. And I still wasn't protected enough to stop me from getting it a second time. So don't buy the idea that you cannot get COVID if you've had it within 90 days. Number two, here's something that's important to know. I tested for 5 straight days because I knew I had been exposed. Then I knew I was having symptoms. And so I was kind of putting two and two together. But every time I took an antigen test, which is the at-home 15-minute version, and I'm a pretty good expert at getting these tests done, and quite honestly, they're not that difficult to take, but I was taking daily tests starting on Sunday, which was the day I had my cold, and Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, every day, my home test was negative. I went to the doctor Tuesday night, and my antigen test was negative. Wednesday, I had a PCR test. Now, that's more sensitive, and that came back positive. And what I was told was because of sensitivity and because of the fact that the Omicron tends to be more in the lungs than in the nasal passages, sometimes it's tougher to detect through an antigen test. So here's my advice to you. If you do have any kind of symptoms, if you're dealing with a cold, a sore throat, a cough, those are the most common. Certainly, if you have a fever or a headache and you take an antigen test and the at-home test and it's negative, do not just immediately assume you're safe to be around others and you're good to go, because I learned that's not the case. I falsely believed that whatever I was dealing with was not COVID because I had negative tests that I had done and even a negative test from the doctor's office, and found out that it was actually positive when I took the PCR test and got that result yesterday. So that is why I am quarantined. I hope everybody takes care of one another and does whatever they can do to keep our community safe and to try to knock down this massive spread that we have right now with Omicron, because it has just absolutely taken over the state of Indiana. Every county in Indiana is red. When you look at the numbers in Allen County, we're getting numbers that would have been a big week back in November, December. And now those big numbers that would have been a big week are a big day. And so, you know, it's tough right now. And I know firsthand from going to doctor's office after doctor's office, long waits, long lines, and it's everybody just get coming in, COVID testing, COVID exams. I know the hospitals, Parkview, I guess, has opened up an entire building separate from the actual medical center, the regular hospital out on their north campus, just to treat COVID patients because they have so many that they're trying to take care of right now. And I've got to give a big salute. If you're in the healthcare industry, man, I cannot believe the courage, the what you go through. Because, I mean, I've been treated firsthand up close by a lot of people that are putting themselves at risk to get close to me because I'm positive. And, I mean, I can't believe the unselfishness, how well they just, you know, great attitudes. It's been a real learning experience of what great people we have in our healthcare industry. And I just want to give a big shout out to every one of you for the job that you've not only done through this Omicron surge, but the job you've done over the last 2 years. And let's hope that we can get through this, because I really feel like as we advance into the spring, that we're going to have much, much better days ahead. There's hopes that the virus, as it mutates and all, that you're getting variants that are weaker and weaker each time it does that. All I know is I got it now, and I hope I don't have it long, because it does have moments. And I don't know what your experience, if you've had it, what it's like. But for me, I will have hours where I feel great, and then I will have a couple of hours where I am completely knocked out. And then I'll have 6-7 hours where I all of a sudden start to feel like, hey, I've turned the corner. Maybe that 2-hour nap where I felt miserable, maybe that was the end of it. And then boom, comes back and hits me again. And you just don't know, you know, because somebody asked me, well, do you think you'll be okay on Sunday? I'm like, I don't know if I'll be okay at 6 o'clock tonight. I don't know if I'll get through this hour. And, you know, it's like you just kind of ride it out, because it's a lot of ups and downs going through it. Like I said, some days you feel like, hey, I've turned a corner, and then boom, it slams you even harder than it did before. So that's what I'm dealing with. But like I said, take care of yourselves. And if you do get that negative antigen test, but you're dealing with symptoms, don't go out, be around a bunch of people until you can get a PCR test. I mean, they're doing them right now at the Parkview campus out there. It's real easy. You just walk in and get a test and just get it done. 46862 is the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. 46862. Coming up, we've got Chris Denary talking in Indiana Pacers basketball. Last night, unbelievable, the Pacers decide to have two of their best games, probably at a time where nobody's watching. Not just the people who can't watch them because of contract disputes with the providers, like Caleb, but the fact that they're playing late at night out in Los Angeles and Golden State, and back-to-back they get wins. And last night was unbelievable. They go to Golden State on the back end of a back-to-back, and they play with no Domantas Sabonis, no Malcolm Brogdon, no Miles Turner. The list goes on and on. I don't think they had Caris LeVert last night even. And they end up beating The Golden State Warriors, 121-117 in overtime. Who saw this coming? And it's almost like this is now proof that you can go ahead and be competitive with a young group that's on your roster. Now is the time. Let's start trading. Bring in the talent you can bring in. It's time to build for the future, because the combination that the Pacers have had this year has been more than disappointing. And last night, the guys that are almost closer to being Mad Ants than being NBA players, as far as how many games they've played in the recent past, you know, guys like Kiefer Sykes, he was great last night. You get these guys that get their opportunity to step up, and they go into Golden State and knock off the Golden State Warriors, who played with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. Huge win last night for the Pacers. But also, I think this is kind of a statement: when you don't play the stars, you still get a win, that you can be competitive. You can be fun to watch. You don't need the big names. It's time to trade them. It's time to restructure this roster from the start. And I think the Pacers last night, Caleb, proved it.
Yeah, I got a text from one of my friends last night. Well, early this morning after 12:30, I didn't see it until I woke up this morning because I was already in bed. I was already asleep by that point, for once. And he just said, hey, you watching the Pacers game. And I woke up this morning thinking like, oh, clearly something happened. Like, I was listening to the game on the radio, like at the end of the first half, and the Warriors were, you know, kind of pulling away a bit, up double digits late first half. And so I'm like, okay. And I didn't realize I could even watch this game. I just assumed I couldn't watch it. So he and I share the same TV streaming platform. So I woke up like shocked that he sent me a text. And then I responded back, you know, saying, did they win? Then I looked up the score before he even responded. I couldn't believe it. But you look at this game, Chris Duarte, the rookie, 27 points. Isaiah Jackson, finally getting significant minutes, double-digit minutes, 15 points, 7 rebounds. Can we just move forward with this group, please? Like, I am begging the Pacers front office to do something. Everyone is. And you have young guys. Like you mentioned, Kiefer Sykes has played well. O'Shea Brissett has played well at times. He struggled last night. But you have to think Turner, Sabonis, LeVert, Jeremy Lamb, all on the trading block for this team. And hopefully they can make a move. And Scott Agnes, who we had on earlier this week, actually sounded confident that despite Turner's injury, that stress reaction, he reiterated, it's not a fracture, it's a reaction. He still thinks Turner will be available and the Pacers will be able to work out a deal and trade him away.
Did the Pacers make up a word or make up an injury just to keep him on the trading block? Have you ever in your life, Caleb, heard of a stress reaction?
I have not. In fact, it threw me off because I reported it as a fracture because I just assumed that's what it was. But their official phrasing was a stress reaction. So that means that it's not an actual fracture in the bone, but it could lead to that, you know, with more repeated, you know, use. And a foot injury is a serious thing for an NBA player, obviously. So the fact that they have been able to sit him before it gets worse, and then the fact that Scott Agnes is confident that they can trade him, I mean, that blew me away. This is a best case scenario for a situation that did not look very positive earlier this week.
Last night, Rob Phinisee, the hero for the Indiana Hoosiers. The streak is over. 9 games, not 8. My mistake yesterday. 9 straight that Purdue had beaten Indiana, but that is now done as Rob Phinisee comes into the game, hits 13 straight points for the Hoosiers to take them from being down, to take them to being within 1 point. And eventually, the Hoosiers led 37-28 at the break. They go on to win it. And Rob Phinisee's next points after halftime, the only points he scored the entire second half, come from the corner with seconds remaining, and they win the game for the Indiana Hoosiers. Caleb, I don't know if we've got the audio, but if we've got it, let's go ahead and get a chance to hear this audio. Don Fisher, our buddy who we have on here on Mondays with our 15 Minutes with Fish, he had the call for the Indiana Hoosiers and the game-winning bucket from the corner from Rob Phinisee.
Can't turn it over. 19.3 seconds to go. The inbound, Galloway finds Rob Phinisee, who fires the three and he hit it! Phinisee, his 20th point of the game. Indiana leads by one.
Great stuff by Don Fisher. And up next, the Hoosiers, another big one coming up on their home floor Sunday. They'll be on national TV on CBS, 3:30 start against the Michigan Wolverines. Meanwhile, the Boilermakers go home to take on Northwestern at Mackey Arena. That game will actually precede the Hoosiers. So if you want a doubleheader of college basketball on Sunday, you've got it with Purdue at 1 and Indiana at 3:30. So we will take a break. Coming up on the other side of the timeout, we're going to be talking to Chris Denary, TV play-by-play voice of the Indiana Hoosiers. Right now, we want to give you a chance to win. How about going to the Mizpah Shrine Circus? We've got a four-pack of tickets. Now, here's the deal. We've got vouchers that you can exchange to whatever show you want to go and get your tickets at the Shrine Circus ticket office, but we've got vouchers. You'll need to pick them up at our office on Monday, and you'll have to exchange them by Monday to get your tickets. So if you can do that, great. We'd love to give you the tickets. We've got four tickets. It's a four-pack. And you can win right now by being caller number three at 447-8500. Caller number three, 447-8500. You can be a winner of four tickets to the Mizpah Shrine Circus coming to the Coliseum next weekend from the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. A lot of basketball heading your way tonight. We've got the Mastodons on the special stream. You can access it through our website at 1380thefan.com. Also, high school basketball tonight. Showdown up in Butler between the Central Noble Cougars and the Eastside Blazers. That'll get underway around 7:30. Michael McIntyre with the call, and then join us after the game for the Parkview Sports Medicine postgame show live from the Auburn Pizza Hut. Those of you north of us, come out and see us. It'll be Dute, Michael Mack, and John Graham will be there. So we've got a full night of high school basketball on the airwaves tonight here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Of course, last night, Pacers basketball on the road out at Golden State, the most unlikely of wins perhaps this year in the entire NBA as the Pacers go into Golden State on a back-to-back with a roster that doesn't include most of the big names. And they get a victory in overtime. And Chris Denary is joining us now on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline to talk about Pacers basketball. Good afternoon, Chris.
Hey, good. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. And, you know, this was quite a couple of days out on the West Coast, couple of games that, you know, even if you had full arsenal of talent out there, that you would say these are going to be tough going into Crypto.com Arena and knocking off LeBron and the Lakers and former coach Frank Vogel. And then 24 hours later, up in Golden State, knocking off the Warriors. Quite a couple of days for the Pacers.
Yeah, absolutely. Longest road trip of the year. You knew it would be difficult starting out with the Clippers on Monday, and you really played pretty well in that game. Came up short, but as tough a back-to-back as you're going to find, you're right. LeBron put up big numbers. They've been struggling, but still had come off a big win against Utah on Monday, and you're able to knock them off and do do a really nice job late in the game. Caris LeVert scores 22 of his 30 in the fourth quarter. And then the next night, basically you have your top six or seven guys not available. And you're starting some guys that you guys saw up in Fort Wayne, Kiefer Sykes and Dwayne Washington Jr. Isaiah Jackson came off the bench, and just a tremendous win, to beat Golden State, who's got one of the best records in the NBA. So, I think you're going into that road trip and you're trying to figure out how are you going to win a game. And now you have a chance with two games left in the road trip to have a winning record. So quite a 2 days and two nights in California for the Pacers.
The game against the Lakers, let's go back and visit them, because that last 4.5 minutes, Russell Westbrook pulled from the game by Frank Vogel. Of course, you know Frank pretty well, Chris. Bold move. I don't know if it's sticking his neck out, if it's a statement about Russell Westbrook. What did you think of that final 4.5 minute stretch without Westbrook being out there?
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, if you go back to that game, and he has struggled shooting the ball all year long, but he made three threes against the Pacers early, and that might have been a benefit, because then Russell tends to shoot more, and he's not shot the ball well this year. I think Frank Vogel's trying anything he can to win games. They've been a 500 team. Whether LeBron James has been on the floor or not, they're one of the oldest team. They are the oldest team in the NBA. I mentioned on air on Wednesday night, I think when they started Ariza and James and Westbrook and Bradley and Dwight Howard, that their starting lineup averaged almost 36 years of age. So it's an interesting team that they put together. You know, Westbrook's a guy that needs the basketball, but the Lakers seem to be at their best when LeBron James is controlling the offense. So I think as it got down into a late-game situation, Frank just figured that his chance to win the game was with LeBron James carrying most of the load and being the point guard, if you will, and he opted to keep Russell Westbrook on the bench. It's been something to watch over the course of the year, and especially heating up in the last week or so. We'll just have to see what happens. And for the Lakers, they start a long road trip tonight. They're in Orlando, ironically, where Frank Vogel coached after he coached the Pacers. And I think they've got games with Boston and Philly. I mean, they've got a very tough schedule coming up out east. So it's going to be an interesting end of January for LeBron James and the Lakers.
You kind of feel like the Lakers have to make some kind of moves because it isn't working right now, and you don't know if those moves would involve Frank Vogel, if they would involve something in the roster. Miles Turner's name has come up with the Lakers. Miles has been on record, gone on record, and said he wants a more expanded role. I don't see that with the Lakers. I see him being traded to the Lakers, if it happens, as more of an insurance policy in L.A. What would you see for Miles if that were to happen?
Well, it's hard to speculate. I mean, there's so much noise and so much talk. I mean, every day. I mean, I think that's sometimes one of the things that is the detriment of the NBA, Brett, is that some people focus more on the off-the-court stuff as far as trades and free agency than they do on the games. And sometimes that overshadows what happens on the floor. I think you're going to see, it seems like it could be an active next 2 to 3 weeks. And the reason I say that across the league is you have a lot of teams that have so-called underachieved, if you will. I mean, look in the East. I mean, clearly the Pacers are not where they want to be, but you've got two teams in New York and Atlanta right now that were the 4 and 5 seed in the East last year. They would not even be in a play-in situation. You've got Boston with two all-stars and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, and they've hovered around the 500 mark all year long. So I think it really depends on each team. I mean, when you look at it, I mean, Miles came out, it's probably been about a month ago, and said, yeah, I want more of an opportunity. I want to do more. I want to help my team more. I mean, I truly believe he wants to do it in Indianapolis. Now, that doesn't mean it will be. I mean, you just never know what opportunities there are for the front office and those types of things. So we'll just have to let it play out. I mean, there's all kinds of speculation and all kinds of rumors throughout the league about every team, and that's why it'll make the next, 3 weeks a pretty interesting time in the NBA.
The roster that we had a chance to see last night, did that make a little statement to Pacers fans that all hope is not lost if trades are made? Because that young group and a lot of guys that just need their chance, they performed well.
Yeah, I think that, two guys that stand out to me, I mean, one has played well all year long, and that's Chris Duarte. He's had two 20-point games on this road trip. He had 27 last night. I think he had 26 against the Clippers. And then Isaiah Jackson. We've not seen a lot of him, the rookie out of Kentucky. You guys saw him last week in Fort Wayne. He had 25 points and hit 5 threes. I think he's going to be a really, really good player. So I do think those young guys stood out. Kiefer Sykes hit some big shots. Dwayne Washington came in and hit a couple of threes. You wonder how sustainable it is for that group because they were able to do it against one of the best teams in the NBA last night. The question is can those young guys do it on a consistent basis? And we'll find out. I mean, I think with the Pacers injury situation, I would guess that Domantas Sabonis would not play on the rest of this road trip after spraining the ankle on Wednesday night in L.A., I would think Caris LeVert would play tomorrow, and I think Malcolm Brogdon will too. I think they wanted to hold him out in the second game of a back-to-back because of his Achilles situation. But I do think that young group gave an inspiring performance and gives them the opportunity and the confidence that they can do it again if called upon, or come in off the bench as a reserve. So it was really good to see them go toe-to-toe. They had ample opportunity to possibly fold in that game, and they never did. Steph Curry was sensational with 39, but those young guys and guys that, you know, across the country a lot of people hadn't heard about played really, really well.
Will we ever see T.J. Warren on the court as a Pacer again?
Well, this is the final year of his contract. I think both parties are hopeful that he will remain a Pacer. Now, we don't know what those negotiations would look like and what a contract would be like. You know, basically, he's not played in almost 2 years. I mean, two full seasons. He played four games last year and has not been on the floor this year. I think there's a good chance that he will play at some point this year. He's moving closer and closer, to getting into contact practices. And I'm sure that will be a discussion between he and his agent and the franchise, you know, where the season is and what do they want to see from TJ. But I do think both parties would like to have him back. But there are a lot of things that go into that, right? I mean, contracts and all those kinds of things. But he has worked as hard as he can work to try to get back. And we've seen, you know, we saw Kevin Durant miss a full season. We saw Klay Thompson miss two full seasons. And, they've been able to come back and still play at a pretty high level. Remember back in August of 2020 when they went to the bubble, one of the best players in the NBA for those eight or so regular season games was T.J. Warren. And by far, he was the best player on the Pacers team. So that's what Indiana's been without for the last year plus. And they'd love to have another chance to see what TJ could do when healthy.
Chris, I've fallen in love with this Memphis Grizzlies squad. I have to admit it. Of course, I'm watching because of my guy, John Conchar, having a chance to start because of the injury to or the protocols for Desmond Bane. But I started thinking about the league this year, and I thought, you know, you've got a Phoenix team that kind of grew up real quick, and I did a lot of that, I think, in the bubble. Could you imagine a Memphis-Cleveland type of matchup in the NBA Finals? I mean, it'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think those are two teams that are very, very talented. I'm not sure that they have the experience or the wherewithal to get that far, but they are clearly two teams on the rise. And it shows that it can happen quickly. Phoenix demonstrated that, as you said, in the bubble a couple of years ago. They went 8-0, and then they acquired Chris Paul and Jay Crowder last year, and I thought that gave them some veteran momentum. I think Memphis has the perfect combination. They've done a really good job in the draft. In free agency and in unsigned or undrafted players, they're just a really, really good team. And what you hope is that a team like that continues to move forward. We've talked about it a lot off air, Quinn and I, about looking at teams like New York and Atlanta, who were really good last year and now are really struggling. Part of that is trying to deal with the expectations that people created for you last year, and can you live up to those expectations? Clearly, Phoenix is one of those teams that got to the finals last year. There's high expectations, and they're able to live up to that. That will be what I think for, you know, teams like Cleveland and Memphis as we go forward in the years to come. Can you live up to what you've been able to do? And I'm a big fan of what Memphis has done. I mean, the Pacers saw them in the preseason. They're the team that Indiana has not faced yet. They've got them twice in the back half of the schedule. So we'll be very interested to see Memphis as they roll in later in the year.
Of course, the Pacers will get a chance to see that Suns team firsthand. That comes up tomorrow night. You've got the TV coverage.
Yes, last night was the only game all year that we do not do. That was a late ad by TNT, and quite honestly, it was great to see the Pacers perform so well on national TV, because over the last few years, national TV has not been a friend to the Pacers. They've had limited exposures, and when they've played, they have not played well. So I was down in my basement like a lot of people watching, enjoying the game and enjoying the product. But we get back to work, and we'll do the rest of the season starting tomorrow with the Phoenix game.
Well, Chris, always appreciate you jumping on with us. We continue to follow the Pacers and especially follow all of the rumors that are associated with the Pacers. We'll see where it goes from here, but we appreciate your time today. Have a great weekend.
All right, thank you.
Yep, that is Chris Denary, TV play-by-play voice of the Indiana Pacers on Bally Sports Indiana, joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. Brett Rump with Caleb Hatch. Glad you're joining us on this Friday edition. 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Questions, comments, or suggestions. Make sure, too, you follow us on all our social media channels like Twitter. We are at 1380 The Fan, at Sports Rush 1380, at Brett Rump Sports, and at Caleb Hatch. Joining us right now on our Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline, the play-by-play voice of the Fort Wayne Comets, it is Shane Alberani. Good afternoon, Shane.
Hey, Brett, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I look at the schedule. There's nothing on for Friday night. What, did I miss something?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to do tonight. I'm not used to having a Friday night off.
I know you. You rarely get a Friday night off, but tomorrow night, Comets will be at home, and this is an important home game. Not only is it a divisional opponent, but it's also the last time at home for about 3 weeks. So, Comets have a big one coming up tomorrow night.
Yeah. You're not going to see the Comets home, I think, until February 9th. So, yeah, it'll be your last chance to see the Comets here for quite a while. So, make sure you get tickets and come on out and see the Comets play the Cyclones, because it's going to be another big Central Division game.
And what do we need to know about the Cyclones?
You know what? Going into the break, they were one of the hottest teams in the league. I think they had won maybe 6 out of 7, and they dropped the last two right before the break. So maybe that helps the Comets out. Maybe not, because the Comets had a little bit of a slide there themselves. And then they finally broke it on last Sunday against Kalamazoo. So you got two teams who want to break back into the win column, because both are chasing Toledo right now.
You know, and trying to chase Toledo with a roster that just gets patched together game after game after game. And the Comets really found themselves in kind of a unique position, needing a goaltender. I mean, it seems like last year we were talking about, boy, the Comets have three goalies. They're going to have a tough decision to make. And now all of a sudden the Comets don't have anybody. They had to go out and find somebody, and they made a trade to get a goaltender. And Boutier, is that close enough?
Close, Boutier? Boutier, yes. Zach Boutier was brought in from Maine. We traded forward Nick Germain for him. And like you said, it was just out of necessity because the Comets had to let Liam Hughes go. Mario Colina right now is the number one goaltender. And he was really, number 8 on the depth chart. When you think about it, this will be the 9th goaltender the Comets have used this season, which would tie a record.
Wow. Is there any chance some of these guys might be coming back to Fort Wayne at any point soon? I mean, so many different guys have shuffled up and are in AHL teams. What is the latest status? Anybody coming back this week?
It literally changes by the hour, Brett, so we really don't know. These changes have been coming so fast and furious. I think the Comets are closing in on 90 transactions since the start of the season, and that's just insane. Other teams are getting the hit as well, but really not as much as the Comets. It's more of the up and down, where you get a guy back for a game or two, then he goes back up, then he comes back down. So that really has been the problem, and not so much as the personnel per se, but just the bouncing back and forth. But as for who we're going to get back and when, we don't know. You hope to get guys back for the big road trip. I think if we were to get guys back, they'd be back already for this weekend. You had a big 5-game, 11-day road trip. You're going to hope to get those guys on the bus before you leave next week.
Talking to Shane Alberani, who joins us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. And, yeah, it's going to be quite the road trip coming up in the next couple of weeks. And a couple of places the Comets don't go often. And so is it Worcester? How do you say it in that particular part of the?
Yeah, I struggle with that. If you're from the east, it's Worcester. You know, so I have to work on that myself. But, yeah, going to see the Railers for the first time in a long time, but also going up to Glens Falls, New York, to take on the Thunder. So, yeah, it's going to be a very long road trip. Like I said, 5 games, you know, 10, 11 days. So, you know, this will be the first trip outside of the division as well. So it's also going to be interesting to see some other teams.
So I would assume that is a pack them up for a couple of weeks and stay on the road for a little while, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why you want to get as many bodies as you can on the bus when we leave the Coliseum late next week, because you don't want to have to bring guys in and out while you're on traveling like that, because it just kind of become a logistical nightmare, because you know, you're not really close to airports in Worcester. You know, Boston would be the closest one. If you're up in Glens Falls, Albany would be the closest one. So to fly guys in, you have to fly them in, then drive them to the venue. So it would be a bit of a nightmare. So we're hoping to have as many bodies as we can on the bus when we head out east.
Glens Falls, New York, is that a ski country? Do you do any skiing when you're on road trips?
No, I don't. You know, it's beautiful up there. It's upstate New York, so it's absolutely gorgeous. But, of course, when we're there, you know, it's probably going to be about minus 4 degrees outside, so I'm not sure how much sightseeing we're going to be doing.
Well, nice little road trip for the Comets coming up next week. And a lot of guys probably will be introducing themselves the way this roster has continued to turn over. This weekend, Cincinnati at home, Toledo on the road on Sunday, and you know, it doesn't seem to matter who the Comets put in the orange and black jerseys. When you play Toledo, it seems to always be entertaining hockey, doesn't it?
Oh, it's always. I mean, it's always a tough game. I mean, outside of the kind of the one stinker the Comets had against Toledo this year when they lost 7-2, everything has been a one goal game. Maybe two goal game, but you know, they're always tight games. It's a great rivalry. Each team shows up to play each other. They step up their game a little bit when they see that other jersey on the other side. So, and of course, going to Toledo, of course, is a tough place to play. Dropped a heartbreaker there last weekend. Another one that in overtime the Sunday before that. So all these games have been close, and it's great. You know, even though the Comets are shorthanded, when they play Toledo, they're gonna hit a different gear. So this weekend is really important because you're playing the two teams that are ahead of you before you go outside the division next week.
Shane Alberani on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Shane, I don't know if I've asked you before, but since we've got a second here, who's your NHL team?
You know, I was a longtime Red Wings fan. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, I've kind of lost touch with a lot of the major sports anymore. The Fort Wayne Comets keep me pretty busy. And with all the players, it's kind of hard to, you know, I got to keep track of all that. So sometimes I'm out of the loop when it comes to my major teams. But I was a longtime Red Wings fan.
Now, do you watch other sports? Do you get a chance to watch other sports when you're so busy? Did you watch Indiana Purdue last night?
Actually, I really don't. You know, when this takes up so much of your time and your life, you know, really just keeping track of the one team and the one league, you know, as your career, you know, I don't really have a much time, or even sometimes, you know, when I'm home, I just want to get away from it, sports in general. So, no, I mean, I really don't watch a whole lot of sports. Like, I like a good college football game, and, you know, and I really haven't been home lately to even watch any playoff games. I don't think I've really watched an NFL game since the season started. So, yeah, it's just with the travel and everything, it's really hard to keep up on things. So, but when I'm away from home, I like to actually get away from sports.
And you've got that dog that takes your attention, right?
Yes, I've got the social media star, Sheriff, the German Shepherd, who takes up a lot of my time.
Now, does Sheriff have his own Instagram page?
Yeah, he does. I believe it is Sheriff, GSD, I believe. My wife runs that. I'm constantly posting pictures of him, usually daily on Facebook and on Twitter as well. So he's quite popular.
You've got a side hustle going. You're collecting paychecks from somebody. Put that dog out there. You've got it figured out. Or actually, your wife might have it figured out more than you.
Right.
Hey, Shane. Well, listen, on WoWo, of course, this weekend at Cincinnati at the Coliseum. Hopefully fans can get some tickets for tomorrow night's game, and then Toledo to wrap up the weekend on the road. And Worcester next week, a couple of games on the road on Friday, Friday, Saturday, and then a trip up to Glens Falls, New York. I don't know why I'm talking like this. Against Adirondack for three. Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. So enjoy the trip. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks a lot, Brett.
Shane Alberani, voice of the Comets, joining us here on the Sports Rush. We'll take a timeout and be back to put the final wraps on this show.
Podcasts by Federated Media.